topic is strength. Timely strength. We're men. We're strong. Right? Some of us maybe remember when we were stronger. Some of us are pretty strong in some areas of our life and other areas not so much. Here, this fellow, Robert Morgan, some of you have the books, some don't. He's a man, just like you and I. He's got a sinful nature, just like you and I. I don't know much more about him, but to be able to write a book, we can study his take on strength. And I like this point. It rings so true for me. I'm going to come back to this later on. But one of his things about tapping into strength is he makes this claim, and it rings true for me. Study God's word and meditate on it. So this week we're studying God's strength in Psalm 46. So let's take a look at Psalm 46 and Robert Morgan's commentary and meditations and conclusions from it. Psalm 46, not a very long psalm. I was thrilled to step up for this chapter because there are words in here that the first time I read through the Bible, I underlined it, put a star next to it, and still today ring through for me at the end of it. But let's read it and see what God has for us here. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. I'm not a very still person. I need to be more still and listen for God speaking. So, Robert Morgan explained some of the context of this psalm. And to put this in kind of a fast forward, we've had a chosen people who were in Israel, who was in Egypt, and they prospered, and things changed, and they became oppressed. And God moved them out of Egypt. Moses brought them to a promised land. And then we had the minor prophets, and the and then finally to the kings: King Saul, King David, King Solomon, and Solomon's sinning that separated the two into little Judah and bigger Israel. We've had Israel itself fall away into idol worship and all of the ick that is the real world, and God punished them by bringing the Assyrians in and wiping them out and taking them away, bringing in other peoples, and then all of this area up there where Israel is becomes Samaria that we know about in the New Testament. But little Judah, pretty much true to God, but occasionally not. And finally, the Assyrians are coming again. And King Hezekiah he's a good guy. And he prays to God for deliverance. The Assyrians come in. They've taken over pretty much all of Israel, Judah, and they're surrounding Jerusalem. So apparently, Hezekiah, with a letter of ultimation from the Syrian king, goes to the temple and prays to God. And you can read about this in 2 Kings 18, 19, chapters 18, 19, because this is some, some amazing material. But Hezekiah prays to God, and God hears this prayer. And that night, he sends an avenging angel. It just says, Angel of the Lord. And in the next morning, it is found 185,000 soldiers are dead. And King Sennacherib decides it's a good time to go back home. And so that threat then recedes. The Assyrians leave. Israel stands. Judah continues. Well, they're going to screw things up, and they're finally going to be punished by God, and that's when the Babylonians will come in and take them all away, and then we have that separation and going on. So, here we have a righteous prayer. God answers and delivers his people. And we meditate on this and we remember a study we've had here where we've seen this happen and we've studied the Red Sea and Moses at the Red Sea and God delivering his people in the most amazing sort of way. For me also, I remember back to, and I'm always struck by this young man, David, a boy, who comes to his brothers in the front lines. They're beset by the Philistines, and they're cowering. King Saul can't defeat them. Goliath keeps coming out and challenging the Israelites and the God of Israelites, and David steps forward and slings a stone that sinks into the head of Goliath. And through this godly action, God delivers his people. And there's lots of other stories of God delivering his people. Gideon, Samson, there's many more instances where God delivers his people. He holds true through his promises. Morgan points out there are many imageries of God's strength. And there is in Psalm 18, God is our refuge like a rock. There is also in 18, God is our refuge like a shield. In Psalm 61, God is our refuge like a tower. In 31, Psalm 31, God is our refuge like a shelter. In Psalm 51, God is our refuge like wings. And in Psalm 59, God is our refuge like a fortress. And there are probably more. This is not exhaustive, but he points these out in the Psalms. Well, men, what about today? Today we have Jesus. It seems to me in my meditations on the scripture that the Old Testament, we see in the Old Testament, God coming to his chosen people and protecting them and saving them, always retaining for himself a remnant. But now the most important thing in God's long history has happened. Jesus came. And God is not outside his chosen people. And to this point, I am led to bring you to, you know these words, John 14, chapter 14, for those who like to read along with. Chapter 14, verse 16, you know these words. These are some of the finest words in the Bible. I will read to you. I'll start with 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I repeat. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Yeah. And we know that we will not be abandoned by God. In Hebrews we read, and this is actually taken out of Deuteronomy, where God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And now I want to turn to Romans, and you know these words. Romans 8, 38, 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. Well, how do we abide in the refuge of God today? And Robert Morgan has these 4 points that he makes, and I think they're pretty good. What do you think? Number one, recognize Jesus, only Jesus, who meets our critical needs. Pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit every day. Study God's word and meditate on it. Claim his promises and trust completely. Now, I might phrase these a little differently, but I think he nails it. I, in giving myself to God, have promised through all of my days till he takes me home to study God's word and to meditate on it. And it's, guys, it's not an intellectual effort. Gee, that's a good idea. Hey, that was a good idea, God. I think meditating on it is fully complete in bringing it into our lives in how we think and how we act and how we talk and how we behave.
Exactly.
And I'm trying, but I'm a God of sinful nature. We all do. And so we're on a long walk of trying to work this out in each of our lives, huh? Hey, amen? Claim His promises and trust completely. I am loved by God. I believe this. And I am loved by God because God sent Jesus to me and I believe. I have just recently taken to when I go to bed and I'm laying in bed and the lights are out and the head is on the pillow and I say these words, God, I am your servant. I am in your kingdom of God on earth. Let me continue to do your work. Amen. Boom. Pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. John, if you love Jesus, and we claim that, don't we? Huh? Then it's not an intellectual effort. We'll obey His commands. And I think we men, I think we're particularly challenged. We're men. We're strong. Or we remember when we were strong and in charge and in control. It's our job to protect our families and our children and our wives and our place. So we have to be men in this culture. We have to be in control. So sometimes we're not in control, and sometimes, many times, we need God's strength. A few of you men know about the time when I was particularly needful of God when my wife Leslie died. I'd been married and had children and thought life was going great, but then she said, David, I don't love you anymore, and I ended up in divorce. But God saw my needs, and I was introduced to a lovely lady, Leslie, and some of you might remember Leslie, because we attended church here for 4 or 5 years. And it took 4 or 5 years of dating, and finally her husband had failed her, and my wife had failed me, and we found each other, and it took a little while to get things organized and together. It took 5 years of dating, and then we married, and we were married for 5 years when one awful day I came home from work, and I found her in the kitchen. And she had passed away probably about 9 o'clock. She'd gone walking with a friend. She had a heart condition. It wasn't a heart attack. It was heart failure. It's electrical. And at that time, the coroner did tell me, this is a really tough thing. We don't know. Even if this had been in a hospital, because I asked if I had been there, could I have saved her? And he said, no, this is probably, even in a hospital, first responder, get her going again. Maybe then. And life stopped for me, fellas. Leslie and I hadn't said one word to each other about, well, hypothetically, where would you want to be buried if you died? What would a funeral look like? And now what? I've got to figure this out. And I don't want to do this. I don't want this to be. This isn't supposed to happen. Friends rallied around. Family rallied around. And I muddled through. But finally, that day in which the memorial service was supposed to be, I'm upstairs. And I don't want to be here. I don't want this to happen. Can't we go back? And I'm supposed to go to church and be in a receiving line of all these people, and I don't want to be here. In the middle of the room, buck-ass naked. I'm supposed to go in there and get ready. And I cried out, God, you got to help me, because I can't do this. I can't do this. And warmth came over me. And strength came on me. And my eyes cleared up. And I went on in, and I shaved and I showered. And I was strong the rest of the day. And I think I'm a pretty strong guy. But I needed God then. And he responded. We like to think we're in control, don't we, fellas? God is my refuge. That day he was my shelter. He was my rock that I could stand on. He was a shield against everything that could have been attacking at that time. He was wings that lifted me up out of the horror of my situation and carried me through. Now, that was August, and just before Labor Day, we had the Labor Day, and then a small graveside afterwards where we interred Leslie, and I didn't pray. For strength, I was just a blithering mass of human male protoplasm. And God still loves me because in my senior years, he brought Mary to me. And we dated and we married. And now 11 years, we've been together and married and happy and going forward, still struggling with life, figuring things out. Blending the families. So, we move on in this psalm. And in the psalm, it refers to living waters, to waters, hidden waters. And this is the time of Hezekiah and how he built the tunnel so that the spring that was outside Jerusalem then with through the tunnel was inside the walls. And I read in a magazine how this well was about 130 feet down to the water. But now Jerusalem has water, and behind the walls they could be safe. But we muse on these words, we meditate on these words, and the waters, I'm thinking waters. Jesus at the well with the lady, that Samaritan lady. If you knew him who speaks to you, and the living waters would well up to everlasting. The waters that's in Revelation. The waters that come out from heaven. And we move on to the last of this. Be still and know that I am God. And I muse on that, and I know that he will be exalted. He will be exalted when he returns with the heavenly host and the angels in heaven. The whole world will see him. Maybe in our lifetimes. Maybe not. Does it matter? Oh, would that be wonderful? Jesus returning? God is to be exalted among the nations. God is to be exalted on earth. God is to be exalted by you and me in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. So that's it. We've got some questions. Let's carry it forward. Just like that.